Predestination. We're going to start by looking at some scriptures that are background scriptures. Well, they're foundation scriptures, really, what the doctrine is based on. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Declaring the end from the beginning. Let's look in, I've got about four or five verses here we're going to base things on. Second verse would be Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Of his own voluntary will. Okay, let's look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Well, that belief of the truth, that would be the gospel of Christ that they had heard. What was it that they heard before the gospel of salvation that would qualify as sanctification of the Spirit? Let me pull up the poster here and we'll look at Romans chapter 15, verse 16, about Paul. In fact, is a comparison. We're going to read verse 8 first. Paul said, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. That's Israel. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Why? To confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Then you come down to verse 16, and it says that I, Paul talking about himself, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. That would be the uncircumcision. Ministering the gospel of God. That there's the gospel of God, and we'll briefly go over what that is in just a minute. That's not the same as the gospel of salvation. Ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being, and here it is, sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So the gospel of God sanctifies the believers of that gospel. It doesn't say it saves them. It sets them... sanctified means to be set apart for some specific purpose, usually a spiritual purpose, but not always. Sanctified by the Holy Ghost we'll understand it better, I think, if we look at the first four verses of Romans about what is the gospel of God. He starts off and he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And verse 2 says about the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So the gospel of God is in the Old Testament Scriptures, in fragments, in pieces, but it's there. It wasn't kept secret. It wasn't... Welcome to the room. Hi. I was wondering where you were. But the gospel of God was not kept secret. It wasn't part of the mystery. It was prophesied. It was told about in Psalms, in Isaiah, in various other places. Micah 5:2. Let's go on. And he tells us what that gospel of God is, what it consists of in verses 3 and 4. He says, concerning his son, so there's the sonship, Jesus, that means Savior, Christ, That's the Messiah, that Jesus is the Messiah, our Lord. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, that's the Messianic line, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So that's the third element. He's the Son of God, he's the Messiah, and the Gospel of God says that he is resurrected from the dead. Those three things, they're statements of fact of events that happened and attributes of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say how to be saved. It doesn't promise salvation. But it does tell us, as we saw back in Romans... I didn't post that verse, did I? Well, let me post this while I'm here. This is the content of the Gospel of God. That he's the Son of God, the Christ or Messiah, and that he's resurrected from the dead. Going back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, let me post that. And this fits right into that. That's why we're backtracking. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to you, give thanks always to God for you, beloved. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through..." So he didn't just choose them, you know, at random or by fiat. He chose them through something, through sanctification of the Spirit. And that's what we just looked at. That's the Gospel of God. When they hear and believe the Gospel of God, they're on track to believe and hear and believe the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ. And that's what he follows up with. He says, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, that's the gospel of God, and belief of the truth. That's the gospel of Christ to them. Same content as what we have is the gospel of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Those are three, and let me just give the references again. We're talking about predestination tonight, and the foundation verses we're just reading through before we really get into the study, but that's Isaiah 46:10, Leviticus 1, verse 3, and 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 that we've gotten to so far. Now we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. Let me just stop there before we go on. God did have foreknowledge. He knew things ahead of time. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's way past salvation, isn't it? That's after we get to heaven, we're complete now, but we still have the flesh. We still have the soul that has to choose to follow God, to follow the promptings of the Spirit in a believer. A non-believer, a lost person doesn't have the Spirit of God in them to choose, to help him choose. He only has the one choice, to choose what the flesh tells him to do. We, as believers, saved people, we do have a choice. We have the flesh telling us to do certain things that, like Adam, that we got from Adam and the sin of Adam. But we've also got the Holy Spirit within us prompting us to do God's will. And we have that choice, and we can make that choice. We're able to. Romans 6 and 7 go through that whole process, how we're able to do those things now. He says, for whom he did foreknow them, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. So he calls us brothers. I came out of a denominational system partly because of this very thing, because of trying to patch together doctrines from things that they would, you know, they patched these doctrines together. They found things in the Bible, but they were trying to make things fit without rightly dividing, without giving to Israel what is Israel's doctrine and not trying to take it for ourselves, and giving to us, claiming for us our doctrine, which only comes through Paul, and not trying to impose that before Paul was saved on people in Israel's realm, I guess you could say, or when Israel's doctrine was in force, the covenants, etc. There's no need to patch things together when you rightly divide. What we do need to do is not go beyond what is written in the Bible. The Bible tells us what it means. God didn't make any mistakes when he wrote the Bible or inspired writers of the Bible. It says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And I used to think, oh, what about the ones that he didn't foreknow? You know, it says, whom he did foreknow. What about the rest of the world? It doesn't say he foreknew everybody, does it? He may have. Other places may tell us that. We'll find what we can find here in the rest of the study. But if the other people that he didn't foreknow, if they chose to believe the gospel without having been foreknown or predestinated to believe it, maybe they also have a chance to still be saved, you know, because in the system I was brought up in, Calvinism, or covenant theology, so-called, my dad being a Presbyterian minister, he was trained in that, and he did give some of that out, although he was split between covenant theology and dispensationalism, that realizing that God dispensed his salvation in a different way at different times. You have to realize that, you know, or you'd be out in your backyard building an ark today, like Noah. But that was specifically given to Noah. That was dispensed to Noah. There are dispensations in the Bible, and that was one of them. We're under the dispensation of the grace of God. So, the point is that God meant what he said in the Bible. Whom he did foreknow, if that's everybody, then that is everybody. But it only says that God foreknew the ones that respond with faith to and they would be trusting the gospel of salvation. They would be saved people, in other words, after they trust it. He would foreknow that, though, from, you know, before the creation. How did God predestinate us to be conformed to the image of his Son? There are some steps revealed in between that we'll get into in the next verse. We're going to look at Romans 8, verse 30. Romans 8, 30. And it says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So it's like that place in, I think it's Acts 20. It says he went into Syria and stopped at here and there, and he's talking. It sounds like after he went to Syria, he did these things, but it's talking about he went to Syria, and on the way, he stopped here, and then he stopped there, and then he finally got to Syria. But that's kind of the way this is. Predestinating us believers to the image, to be conformed to the image of his Son, is the end result. And he says, on the way, he implies on the way, moreover, brethren, whom he did, moreover, starting over, I got to get it right, this is the Bible we're reading, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So that's a step. Whom he called, them he also justified. That's another step. After being called, But in between being called and being justified, we know from other verses there's a step to be considered. After being called and before being justified, God foreknew those with a response of faith. Faith to what? When God calls us, he calls us by the gospel. And that's in, I think that's the verse after where we were. Let me just find my poster. It's lost here. I think that's 14. Yeah, verse 14. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. So it's the gospel that God uses to call people. So he, it says in Romans 8:30, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. By the time they're justified, they had heard the gospel and believed it to be called. That's how he calls them, by the gospel. Those that believed the gospel were justified. So I hope that's clear. When God calls us by the gospel, does he justify everyone that hears the gospel? Or does he justify those who believe the gospel? Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. He justifies those with faith, those that believe the gospel. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed verse. And the one that follows it too tells us how we have access. The ones that God foreknew would believe the gospel, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. That is the believer's destiny. It's in the future, way out there, when we, after we've left this earth, we'll be conformed to the image of his son. We're in that process, and I've mentioned in another lesson the box that it's a like a square or a rectangle that you look at, and you start in the lower left and you end up in the upper right. But some people study and rightly divide and are interested in coming to the knowledge of the truth, and they shoot right up toward the top, toward being conformed to the image of his will, of his son, excuse me. Some other people, they get saved and they just kind of coast along and don't really excel much and don't study, they're saved. But when they come to their death, they're immediately in the upper right corner of that same square, same rectangle too. Just where the person was that died when he had studied his whole life. So, and learned his come to the knowledge of the truth, put it that way. That's the way the scripture says it. They both end up conformed to the image of his will, of his son. I keep it. All right. So God called the ones that he had predestinated. God had predestinated the ones that he foreknew would receive his call. So that's why it's not by the fiat of God. It's not arbitrary. God knew who would receive the gospel when they hear it and who would not. And he predestinated the ones that he foreknew. So God justified the ones that he had called, having called those he foreknew would respond with faith to the gospel of salvation, being the call of salvation. Called by the gospel, as we saw in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Going on in Romans 8, verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And you may look at your body and say, well, one ear doesn't work. My left hand is weak. I have a limp. Is that glorified? But let me remind you of... Oops, did we lose sound? There we are. remind you of Ephesians 2. Can you hear me now? I lost it in my ear. I don't know if you can still hear me. Well, I'll keep going then. I'll find the poster. Ephesians 2:6 about our being glorified. And it says, He hath raised us up, us believers, us saved people, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So our spirit is already in heaven in Christ. And the body is still here on earth, and the soul shuttles between the two. It tries to make its decisions by following the leading of the spirit, since our spirit is already not only seated together in heavenly places, where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness in heavenly places. You know, Ephesians 6 tells us that. But we are glorified in our spirit today. That's good news. You know, if you don't read it in Scripture, you might not have thought of that or known it. In our flesh, we're not yet glorified. For instance, we can't walk through walls. We do not yet have a spiritual body. In the future, when we are changed, we will have a body that is a spiritual body, not a flesh and blood body. We'll have a body that is governed by our spirit. And that's our future destiny, to be glorified. And that's what it says. Those whom he justified, them he also glorified. Going on to Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, what a concept. If God be for us, who can be against us? I should be hearing cheers of joy, relief, and thankfulness. God is not mad at us. God's for us. How could God foreknew that I will believe the gospel when I hear it? How does that? That's another step there, isn't it? It's another thing to consider. How can he foreknow what I'm going to believe when I hear the gospel? Or whether I'm going to believe? Look in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. 8 and 9 we'll look at. Isaiah 55, 8. For my thoughts, remember, it's he foreknew. To foreknow, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, let's apply what we just saw in Romans 8:29 to Isaiah 55:8. What are God's thoughts? Romans 8:29, God's thoughts were about whom he did foreknow. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are foreknowing, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. And we have to realize that God can direct things without our approval. We don't have to okay it if he wants to. God can do things for our good that are beyond our own understanding. Going on to verse 9, Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. God is saying to us, or to Israel, actually, but we're in that same group, people rather than God. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, higher. My thoughts higher than your thoughts. We can't go into a debate with God. We can't outthink God. We don't have all the equipment. God is right, period. God's thoughts and his ways are much higher than ours. Unless God tells us in the Bible, we can't figure out what God is doing. God is out of our league. We don't ever think that you can out-reason God. You can't. There are things that, you know, you have to make up things if you think you understand some of the things God gives us things to understand about Him, but there are other things that we can't understand, we can't explain. And if you make up some kind of a patch job to try and make it understandable, that's you. That's your, you know, you may have that blown out of the water someday by something you realize or find out in the Bible. Don't lean on your own opinions. Lean on the Bible. Don't go beyond what is written, is what it says in 1 Corinthians 4, 6. Don't try to match wits with God or force God to do something you want. You know, people, they read what the Lord said to the apostles when He was on this earth, in His earthly ministry, to Israel, to the circumcision, it said there. And they try to apply it to us. You know, He said things like, whatever you ask in My name, I will do it. To them He said that. He didn't say that to us. And they try to force God to do something, make my mother get well, or whatever it is, you know. If you think that way, you have much too low an opinion of God. Since God already told us in the Bible that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, then we don't have to understand. We just have to believe. Make sure that you're believing what's actually in the Bible, though, not just a cliche or a fable, a story, an opinion. God already loves you more than you love yourself. All of that is to show that God did foreknow, and He acts on His foreknowledge. Let's say that you get married. You have a child, and 20 years from now, that child receives the call, the gospel, and that Christ died for all of that child's sins. Christ died to save him. Before God even created the earth, He foreknew that your child would believe the gospel of salvation. God knew it back then. And you don't even know it today, because it's going to happen 20 years from now. You don't know that you're going to have a child or what he will believe. Before creation, God foreknew all the way into the future. God foreknew, and on that basis, He predestinated those who would believe to be called. He didn't predestinate them to believe. No, it sounded like that when I stopped there. But He predestinated those who would believe to be called by the gospel. And that they would believe, that's what He already foreknew, and that they would be justified and glorified. But that's what predestination is. So when somebody comes along and cuts that short and says that God predestinates who will be saved and who will be lost, well, that's simply a lack of study. It's not rightly dividing. It's not looking at all the scriptures, the context, both the local context and the remote context, further away in other places, like we've done in Isaiah, etc. Leviticus. For their good, we need to have studied enough to know that there is a step before He predestinates us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That earlier step is that God foreknows what our choice will be when we hear the gospel of salvation, Paul's gospel. Having studied enough to know those things is what Ephesians 6:15 calls having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But it's our choice. It's our free will to make the choice. But God foreknows ahead of time what we will choose, each of us, what we're going to choose. Have you seen you may have seen a picture from the top of a mouse maze. You know, there's a maze with walls, and the mouse has to go through and find the pellet of food. It's a zigzag course. And at the end of the course, they put a little pellet of food. And they put the mouse in at the beginning, and he bumps his way back and forth until he finds the food. And after repeating that several times, the mouse can go directly to the food. Well, unbeknownst to the mouse, you, a higher species, are standing there above it, watching that mouse and his choices as he travels through the maze. To some extent, no example is perfect, but to some extent, that's the way it is with God. Of course, with some limitations to the analogy. God knows how to direct us by His scriptures. He knows what the future is. He knows what our choices will be, and He can tell what we should do. We need to listen to God in the Bible. When He gives us instructions about how to live in the portions of the Bible that are to us by Christ's only apostle that He sent out to the Gentiles with salvation information, that's Paul. God knows ahead of time where the end is. From the beginning, He knew the end, the outcome. Let's go ahead now with, we're going to look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And iniquity, remember, it's not so much lying, stealing, greed, gossip, lust, etc. Things like that. But it's going away from God. It's losing interest in God. It's more like religiosity, really. In the Old Testament, it was when Israel had the golden calf, remember, that they worshipped, and they worshipped Baal. And Moloch, was it Moloch or Rephaim that they offered their babies on? Let their babies be burned up to please the false god, the god of the countries around them. They went after other gods. Iniquity, that's iniquity. In the Bible, in Jeremiah, it mentions the Queen of Heaven. Today, they're still mentioning her. So, you know, iniquity is abounding today. Iniquity is lack of allegiance or loyalty to God, faithfulness to God. I believe when God told Israel, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved," that He was talking about faithfulness to God, allegiance, loyalty, not sinlessness, not perfection, but loyalty. Faithfulness is the word used in the Bible, I think. They were to keep the law. That's Israel's what Israel was given, not us. They were to keep the law. But there were provisions in the law for when a person would break the law. One more thing to notice here in 2 Timothy 2:19, it's that the Lord knows you if you're His. He knows you. It's not a matter of looking up your name in the record book somewhere to find if you believe the gospel of salvation or not. No. God knows you if you're His. The Lord will never say to a saved person, and then I will profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." As in Matthew 7:23. Let's look at Romans 5:1. It's about peace. And how to have peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's by faith. Your faith is not the cost of your justification. Your justification was earned by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. By the way, if Calvary is not in your Bible, in Luke 23:33, it should be there. The real Bible has it. Get a real Bible. with all the words in it and with no mistakes in it. Don't get the real Bible to please me. Do it to please yourself so you can hear the actual pure words of God.